When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today, I'm going to give you one quick tip that is going to tremendously improve your results at mastering. And if you apply this to mixing, I think it'll help you a lot in mixing as well. It comes down to how you use limiters and compressors, particularly in the context of on your main stereo bus. And this was a big insight and breakthrough for me, and it's been a big one for a lot of my clients and a lot of the learners, people have taken the course Mastering Demystified. And like I said, it applies almost as well to mixing as it does to mastering. Before I give you this one quick tip that's going to change your life, all I've got to do is shout out this week's sponsors. They include you. How do you sponsor? By hitting that like button if you're on the YouTube or Facebook version of this, making sure you're subscribed, hit notifications bells, all that good stuff. Or if you're on an audio-only version, subscribe there. Consider us giving us a rating and review as well. Super helpful. Also, big shout out to Sound Toys, making some of my favorite creative effects in the known universe. Try out anything they make for free for 30 days at soundtoys.com. One of my favorites out there. All right, let's get right into it. This one big tip in the context of mastering is to put your limiter on first. Don't put it on last. And this came out of a coaching call I was doing with a coaching call client of mine just the other week. And she was asking me about, you know, one of the problems she was having was sometimes her masters sounding kind of more squashed, more flat, more small, the more she limited them, the more she compressed them. And when she tried to get them up to a level that was competitive with some of her favorite tracks and some of her clients' favorite tracks, things just sounded little, weak, small, murky. And why this occurs quite a lot is that people get all of their EQ dialed in, they do all the processing they want to do, and then they apply the limiter afterwards. And that, I'm going to suggest to you, is a big mistake, particularly if you want things to sound loud, clear, clean, articulate, make them sound full and big as they get loud instead of smaller and worse as they get louder, which is a very common thing. A big problem with limiters is that just all else being equal, if you limit something, it will tend to sound a little more dark and smushy and congested because you're shaving off transients. And you also will end up having this problem where if you have a lot of low end in the track, and this is very common in mixes before they're mastered, maybe having a little bit too much low frequency and low mid energy compared to favorite records, that as the limiter squishes down on things, these overabundant areas will seemingly be even more overabundant than they were before. So if you're going to do a lot of limiting, a lot of compression, a lot of loudness, if you want to get things really saturated and exciting sounding, you're often going to have to make them a little bit brighter than you otherwise would. So there's a problem. If you EQ things first, get them sounding great, and then apply the limiter, that limiter is kind of changing the EQ profile and the tonal balance of everything that you've already set up. But if you put that limiter on first, get your track to a roughly appropriate loudness level first, now every EQ move you make, every decision you make into the limiter in mastering is informed by what the limiter is doing. So you're going to be encouraged to potentially suck out more low mids and more subs if that's what that particular mix needs. You'll also be encouraged to add in more lows and add in more low mids if that's what it needs, because you're hearing the effect that the limiter is having on the track one way or another, and you're making all of your choices based on what that limiter is doing. And it'll give you some great ideas, better insights into how you should be EQing, Because if you do it the other way around, you practically have to EQ twice. You have to EQ, then you put the limiter on. If the limiter is doing something significant, if this is a genre that needs significant limiting to get it up to -9 LUFS, -10 LUFS, -6 LUFS in EDM or something like that, if it's a genre that wants a lot of compression and limiting, you've totally changed the sound, and now you're going to have to EQ everything all over again. So again, putting your limiter on first and then mastering into it. And I recommend, for a similar set of reasons, putting your mix bus compressor on early if you want to mix through one during the mixing process. If you like to EQ your mix bus, as some people do, also putting that on early is a good idea. Because again, every single decision you make in the mix, you're going to hear it through that end processing. So you'll push things further when you should. You'll hold back on things more when you should. You'll make better decisions when it comes to balance setting and automation setting because you're hearing that through your final bus processing. Rather than spending a whole half a day or a day doing a full mix and then putting a compressor or an EQ on to hear that it just actually changes your mix and changes decisions that you had made. And I would have made different decisions. Now I'm going to have to go back and change things. You know what? I'll just leave it for the mastering engineer. You're probably better off leaving compression and EQing the mix bus to the mastering engineer if you're going to put it on near the end of your process. But if you get it on early, you can make intelligent decisions through your mix bus compressor or through your mix bus EQ if you use one, or whatever other processing saturation that you might use, a tape simulator or something on your mix bus. Getting those on relatively early. I generally recommend maybe setting your balances first in the mix, rough balances, then put that stuff on, then continue setting your rough balances, and then go through the rest of the sweetening. Once you get more advanced, even having them on from moment one can be a good idea, particularly if you have a set process as far as gain staging and things like that. We could get more advanced, more detailed in this. I wanted to give you a quick tip today, so that's it. If you want to go even more in depth, my full-length course, Mixing Breakthroughs, I mean, goes tremendously far into this idea of how to treat your buses in the mixing context. Or my full-length course, Mastering Demystified, goes into this into some really great detail on the mastering end, why I advocate for setting up that limiter first, getting yourself to appropriate level first, and then mastering into that limiter in the mastering context. I think if you start integrating this into your work right away, you're going to get tremendous results out of it, especially on the mastering side. Hope this one has been useful for you. If you want to go deeper, there is Mixing Breakthroughs, Mastering Demystified, the full-length courses. If you want something totally for free, I can get you a free workshop called The 5 Habits of Truly Great Mixers. You can get that at sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. That's sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. And it really ties together the common threads and the approach of all of the best mixers out there who I have studied, worked alongside, seen work, interviewed, all of that stuff. You get that at sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. If you want a primer on mastering, kind of the basics of mastering, free workshop called Mastering 101, you can get sonicscoop.com/mastering101. That's sonicscoop.com/mastering101. Big shout out again and thanks to Soundtoys for sponsoring this episode, been sponsoring the podcast since the beginning. Try out anything they make for 30 days for free over at soundtoys.com. Incredible effects like the Decapitator, the Devilock Deluxe, the Little Plate, the Echo Boy, the Crystallizer, the Phase Mistress. Just tremendous stuff over there. Definitely check them out if you haven't already, soundtoys.com. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for hanging out with me. See you next time.